Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Monday, November 30th, is the Feast of St. Andrew the Apostle. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis sends a message to Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew on the Feast of Constantinople's patron saint. Dozens of farmers have been killed in Nigeria by Islamist militants. And governments continue to struggle with the pandemic as the holiday season approaches. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis sent a message on Monday to Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew I of Constantinople to mark the feast of the Apostle St. Andrew, patron saint of the Ecumenical Patriarchate. Lydia O'Kane has more.
In the message to Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, Pope Francis calls to mind the charity, apostolic zeal and perseverance of St. Andrew, which, he says, is a source of encouragement in these difficult and critical times. The Pope emphasizes, giving glory to God also strengthens our faith and hope in the one who welcomed into eternal life the holy martyr Andrew, whose faith endured in time of trial. Pope Francis also recalls with great joy the presence of the Patriarch at the International Meeting for Peace that was held in Rome on the 20th of October this year, along with other religious leaders. Together with the challenges posed by the current pandemic, the Pope underlines, war continues to afflict many parts of the world, while new armed conflicts emerge to steal the lives of countless men and women. He notes that all initiatives taken by national and international entities aimed at promoting peace are useful and necessary. Yet, Pope Francis continues, conflict and violence will never cease until all people reach a deeper awareness that they have a mutual responsibility as brothers and sisters. In light of this, the Pope points out that the Christian churches, together with other religious traditions, have a primary duty to offer an example of dialogue, mutual respect, and practical cooperation. Expressing his gratitude to God, the Pope says he himself has experienced this fraternity at first hand. In his message, Pope Francis acknowledges that the desire for ever greater closeness and understanding between Christians was manifest in the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople before the Catholic Church and other churches engaged themselves in dialogue. The Pope goes on to say that this can be seen clearly in the encyclical letter of the Holy Synod of the Ecumenical Patriarchate addressed to the churches worldwide exactly 100 years ago, and which he remarks remains relevant today. Acknowledging that obstacles still remain on the road to unity, the Pope also says he is confident that by walking together in mutual love and pursuing theological dialogue, we will reach that goal. His hope, he concludes, is based on our communion faith in Jesus Christ, sent by God the Father to gather all people into one body, and the cornerstone of the one and holy Church, God's holy temple, in which all of us are living stones, each according to our own particular charism or ministry bestowed by the Holy Spirit. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Elsewhere in news from the Vatican, for this year's celebration of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, Pope Francis will be entrusting the city of Rome and its inhabitants, as well as the many sick people throughout the world, to the maternal care of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The act of devotion will be undertaken privately, according to a statement issued by the director of the Holy See Press Office. In his statement, Matteo Bruni said Pope Francis will not be making his usual visit to Piazza di Spagna on the afternoon of the feast due to the ongoing coronavirus health emergency. Bruni explained that decision was made in order to avoid all risk of contagion caused by gatherings. It is customary for the reigning pontiff to make the trip from the Vatican to Rome's Piazza di Spagna each year on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is a national holiday in Italy. The solemnity celebrates the singular grace and privilege by which the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved from all stain of original sin. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception has been believed by the Church from the very beginning, but was only formally defined in 1854 by Blessed Pope Pius IX. In 1857, a commemorative column was raised in Piazza Mignanelli, close to the Spanish Steps in Rome, and it is that column where the popes generally make their act of veneration. The tradition of the Pope visiting the square on the feast day dates back to 1953. Turning now to world news. Burials are taking place in northeast Nigeria after scores of farm workers were killed on Saturday as they worked in rice fields. Various sources have told of the brutal murders of defenseless men and women working in the fields in Borno State. No group has claimed the attack, but officials say it carries the hallmarks of the jihadist Boko Haram militants, who have been carrying out attacks in the region for more than 10 years and still control part of the territory. Linda Bordoni has this report.
Villagers on Sunday buried 43 farm workers killed in an attack by suspected Islamist militants, while security forces search for dozens who are reported still missing. Eyewitnesses described a group of men who arrived on motorcycles and beheaded around 30 of the victims during the attack, which began on Saturday morning in the village of Zabarmari. Residents said at least 70 people are feared dead. 10 women are amongst those missing. Speaking during the mass funeral, Borno State Governor Babagana Zulum called on the federal government to recruit more protection for residents. On the one hand, he said, they stay at home and may be killed by hunger and starvation. On the other, they go out to their farmlands and risk getting killed by the insurgents. Food prices in Nigeria have risen dramatically over the past year, driven by flooding, border closures, and insecurity in some food-producing areas. While there was no claim of responsibility, massacres such as the weekend one have been carried out in the past by Boko Haram or by the Islamic State West Africa Province, which are both active in the area where Islamic militants have killed at least 30,000 people in the past decade. More than 2.5 million have been displaced. The UN estimated that at least 110 people were killed across Yere local government area of Borno State this weekend alone. Authorities have voiced their alarm with Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari, who condemned the killings and said the entire country is hurt, and the UN humanitarian coordinator expressing outrage and horror for the most violent direct attack against civilians this year. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Elsewhere, France and Germany are struggling with an increase in coronavirus infections amid wider concerns about a second COVID-19 wave in Europe. As Stefan Boss reports, the pandemic has overshadowed the 35th anniversary of Europe's border-free Schengen area. Here's Stefan Boss.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel has reportedly condemned several regional governments for allowing hotels to open for family visits over Christmas. She warned it risked worsening a coronavirus surge sweeping Germany. Participants in a video conference of Merkel and her Conservative Party's top leadership said she couldn't understand why northern and western states, where the pandemic is less severe, would open hotels for far-flung families to get together. Merkel spoke as coronavirus infections rose overnight compared to the same level next week. The infections came despite a partial lockdown introduced for November and since extended and tightened to halt COVID-19 cases. Despite Merkel's comments, the regional leaders have the final say on what happens in their states under Germany's federal structure. Her intervention came shortly before a meeting of the coronavirus cabinet. Ministers are due to discuss different responses to what they view as one of Germany's most significant public health crises in a century. France also faces challenges. The State Council, France's highest court, has ordered the government to review a law limiting the number of people in churches during religious services to 30. The council said the measure was not proportionate to coronavirus infection rates. Shops selling non-essential goods were allowed to reopen from November 28th, and indoor religious services were allowed to resume, Still, the number of worshippers was kept at 30 people. Catholic organizations challenged the limit, arguing that churches and cathedrals are much more spacious than retail outlets, where the limit is one person per 8 square meters. The pandemic has overshadowed the 35th anniversary of Europe's border-free Schengen area. From 5 countries at a time, Schengen grew to 26, counting 420 million citizens. But the European Union has expressed concern about recent border closures. The president of the EU's Executive European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, noted that the coronavirus pandemic challenges Schengen's philosophy of open frontiers.
It has been 35 years since a number of member states agreed to remove border controls between themselves. The first month of the pandemic showed us what happens when Schengen stops functioning. Europe grinds to a halt. And it may sound like a paradox, but this experience made me very confident in the future of Schengen. It is too precious for us all. We will not allow it to fail.
For Vatican Radio, Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Finally, Pope Francis on Saturday created 13 new cardinals from around the world, inducting them into the College of Cardinals, which now has 229 members. At the ceremony called the Consistory, the Pope bestowed the cardinalate on them by putting on their heads the red beretta, an ecclesiastical hat, and a cardinal's ring on their finger. He also signed them one of the parishes of Rome. The new cardinals come from 8 different countries: Italy, Malta, the United States, Brunei, the Philippines, Mexico, Rwanda, and Chile. 2 of the cardinals, however, were unable to be present at the consistory because of the COVID-19 health protocols and travel restrictions. One of those was Cardinal Cornelius Sim, the first cardinal of Brunei. Robin Gomes spoke with Cardinal Sim on Monday morning about how the Catholic community there, but especially his family, followed in on the ceremonies.
Well, in terms of family, my parents are no longer alive. I have a couple of brothers. I have a brother and a sister in Canada. A few of them who are still in Brunei, they joined me. And yes, it was a great experience indeed. But not being there, I guess the next best thing is just to be able to view other cardinals being raised. Yeah, that was...
On Sunday yesterday, did you have a mass with your small, tiny Catholic community? Something special?
Well, yes, in the sense that every mass is special. However, I did have read out the letter that the Pope sent to me, a personal letter about this announcement in which I was elevated to cardinal. So we read out the letter and in all the masses. It was a personal letter from the Pope to me on the occasion of my elevation that was sent about 3 weeks ago. And I explained a little bit about how this appointment actually reflects also well on the community who have lived out the faith as best as they can in the situation in which they are the minority. I think that has somehow attracted the notice of, I suppose, the Holy Father and some people in Rome. The community was very happy. They felt that they also shared in that, shall we say, achievement.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks to our producers and technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Chris.